Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We will be doing a compendious summation of the 14th Amendment, a comprehensive summary. But we will also be getting into the Citizen's Oath, which is a part of that. So this is technically like the final episode for the 14th Amendment. And that way, in the next episode, what we're going to do is we'll probably go ahead and leap over the ex post facto laws and bills of attainders, because what we want to do in our next episode is give you the context and read the first Thanksgiving and why this proclamation of Thanksgiving is so important. And even though we celebrate Thanksgiving for the wrong reason, there is no reason why we can't bring the spirit of giving a true Thanksgiving once again. And so, with that, let's just kind of dive into what I usually tell you, that this show is also sponsored by Reclaiming the Republic as well as republicreview.org, both of those .orgs, reclaimingtherepublic.org and republicreview.org. And you also know that this is a show that gets into the actual reading. We provide you the academic evidence. I mean, we do not want you to take our word for our, you know, as face value. Take the framer's word to the bank. That is what you need to hear, because don't take our word for it. We don't want you to just say, oh, well, he said so. It is more important that you understand what Madison and the rest of these great, insightful men stated and why they stated those things. We do editorialize. We do try to help put the backstory to some of this stuff as well. And I know that in doing that, we get into a lot of details. It doesn't give us a lot of time in our hourly show to go into a lot of the things that are going on that you just got to hear about. You got to talk about. Bloomberg's in the race. You know, these are the types of things that we miss. We don't get into the Democratic presidential race, or what we call the debacle, or what I have called for almost a year now, Circus Maximus. It is Circus Maximus because it is the big distraction. Another thing that we haven't been able to get into is China, China, China. China is, it's not going away, my friends. And it is going to become a, you know, more and clear and present danger to liberty. And I'm not just talking about Hong Kong. You know, they're also begging, you know, they're currently and have been begging for the United States to get out of the South China Sea. They want us to get away from Taiwan. You know what? You may not even know. They've already had a few cases of the bubonic plague. They've been talking, and I think I made comment on this a few times regarding their patriotic education endeavor and how 54 nations in the United Nations is applauding them because these guys are on payola. They're getting something out of their relationship with China, and this patriotic education that they are indoctrinating these dissidents with is brainwashing. Earth to America, earth to Trump, earth to patriots. We have to step in. Why is it that we have never, ever applied the concepts, the framing concepts of offering, or at least letting states know that they can petition to become a part of the United States? Why did we even allow Wilson to generate that stupid idea of the League of Nations? Why did we allow Teddy Roosevelt to, you know, talk us into getting involved in the most destructive scheme perpetrated upon the human race called the United Nations. Let's make those things irrelevant. If we're talking about, you know, nation building and everything else, what better way of doing it than building up nations based on liberty? Well, how dare us? How dare we think that, you know, we're better than, you know, these nations that are, you know, still using chisel and fire and those types of things, those types of tools? Come on. Do you believe that the divine hand of providence inspired and gave everybody in this republic the context of understanding what liberty is and how to define liberty and not go down this path of saying, why is it that all people cannot enjoy this? Why is it that we are in this position? Why is it that we cannot allow other people to enjoy the concepts of liberty and this constitutional republic? Do you think that the divine hand of providence said, no, only those people that live right there within those arbitrary boundaries made up by men? I understand that there are paradigm shifts. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation. I will be having a conversation later on with G. Edward Griffin regarding these paradigms that are problematic. If you remember, I actually provided you with an insight regarding a person that was a part of the Peace Corps, and how when they went there to some African nation, they realized just how corrupt the paradigm was of these people. They didn't have any fundamental basis. They didn't understand. And, you know, the thing that I'm always reminded of is it even took Moses 40 years to change the culture of Israel. Now, I want you to understand what Moses had in context to today, right? He had unattested access to these people, Israel. In other words, there wasn't anybody else out there. Here's a group of people that left this culture and the society known as the Egyptian Empire that was ruling the world, and they went into the desert and they started reverting right back to the idolatry and those types of things that they were being practiced. And so Moses had to change their culture. Well, he didn't have Israel, you know, broadcasting, you know, propaganda. He didn't have a national education system that was trying to indoctrinate and trying to subvert and pervert, you know, what he was trying to do. He didn't have an entertainment industry that was trying to pervert and undermine what he was trying to do. And you got to keep in mind that these people, even though they were isolated and he had unattested access, these folks also witnessed miracles. They were fed by manna. They were witness to, you know, the healing, the power of healing through his powers, authority, and what have you. Look at the staff. I want you to understand that it took him 40 years to change that culture. So things, you know, for a nation to become a part of the United States that may be struggling, it may take them a while. But we have to understand what those transition points are, where they need to get so that they can come in and be integrated and not become a risk and or a danger to themselves and to the republic. We have to have, you know, like this this transition process that actually helps them understand that, hey, you guys are going to be able to have your own self-governance. You're going to have your own militia. You are going to become a part of the greatest government endeavor ever in humankind. one that is based on individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So why is it that nobody is not demanding that we start actually looking at having and advertising and letting other states apply? You know, Article 4 of the Constitution talks about states joining the Union. That wasn't states within the North American continent. A state was identified as an independent and sovereign nation. Well, guess what? The territories weren't states. They had to earn that position. And in earning that position was their joining the Union, because before they were considered territories. And so, if you didn't know, we actually petitioned and asked Mexico and Canada, would they like to join our Union? They were already established states. And at that point, we still had these problems called slavery. We still had these problems of oppressive laws, and we had lost sight of those concepts of individual liberty and individual sovereignty and the principles that the framers basically instilled into our government. Because at that point in time, even the militia had been completely marginalized and was no longer the executioner or the entity that Congress called upon to execute the laws of the Union. So, with that, we will get back into the opening dialogue, because I went into well too long of a monologue just because of China, 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 and how they've been dictating way too long. They are a problem we have to deal with, and we will be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flow that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so I went down this little diatribe with China, 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 just due to the fact that I know that there's lots of things that we're not covering. I know that you're probably some of those listeners that we have that will tune in and go, oh, Acme's not talking about the the impeachment or the Mueller case or the grapefruit du jour is what we call it, in honor of Jerry Doyle, because it's the distraction. Now, there's all of these things that are happening, like what's been going on in Iran. You know, we're going to get into what we call that marketing. We call those issues, those things that are occurring, that are distractions, we call that marketing. And that's because we believe that if you really look at those things in context to the Constitution, what we should be doing and so forth, these should be motivators in getting you to take action, to stand up and say, we are no longer going to stand idly by sitting here and allowing the government and all of these things to put aside our liberty, to set aside our Constitution. There are plenty of things going on. Divisive politics. And oh, by the way, one of the things I need to put in the queue, because as we cover these things, they just kind of pop up and I go, you know, I need to cover this. And we're going to get into the hyphenated American that was written and published by Prince Teddy. You know, the royal family of the Roosevelts in the early, you know, progressive era of communism in America. But the one thing Prince Teddy did was he wrote an article regarding the hyphenated American in identifying the fact that America was creating a new nation, a new culture. And so, I mean, if you call, you know, people from Canada Canadians, you know, there is this group of hyphenated Americans, and they're all the same thing. They're trying to morph themselves into an anti-American. And so he makes this great case. We're going to read this, and we're going to put it into context for you. Do you know somebody that hyphenates themselves? Are they hyphenites? I mean, what do you call a person that hyphenates themselves? You know, are they hyphenites or hyphenators or hyphenadians? Anyway, the point is I believe there's merit in exposing you to this because there's way too few people that understand this. And it's like hyphenation is on steroids today. As a matter of fact, because we've become a misandrist culture, anti-patriarchal, anti-male, and everybody is misogynist because we are misandrists. Any type of male assertion or testosterone or maleness is identified as a misogynist, and it's evil. And in essence, that is a misandrist paradigm. And America has, and it seems like Western society, has adopted this misandrist paradigm. And so all of these divisions are dangerous. And as a matter of fact, one of the things, I had a great conversation this weekend with family, and I pointed out that if you understand the origins of division or those things that people use as tools of divisiveness for themselves, whether it be race, whether it be gender, whatever the demographic is, it is driven by a fundamental, what people would call a fundamental sin or a fundamental tool, which is pride. When somebody takes pride of their nationality, their ethnicity, their gender, or what have you, and puts it over the whole of society, then you can understand and start putting it into context. And anybody that understands, you know, how pride can be a very evil tool in destroying not just a person, but of a people and or a nation. We have become a very prideful nation because we do not accept the American principles and what it means to be American. What we want to be is anti-American. And that is, in essence, the definition of the road to destruction. So we're going to get into the hyphenated American. I think it is. So These again, this is another reason why you want to get people to start tuning into these shows, because we're actually covering what the problems are and what we have to do to fix these things. We're also going to cover, after we do this proclamation, we're going to cover the ex post facto and bills of attainder. We were going to do that. I was hoping to do that sooner, but it because we want in our next episode to focus on Thanksgiving, we will cover the ex post facto and bills of attainder laws coming up. And, oh, by the way, we're going to be covering the ratification debates. And also coming up in the next few weeks, we're going to cover the Bill of Rights in commemoration to the Bill of Rights Day, which is when? December 15th. That's right. We will be covering the Bill of Rights. And so I want everybody to, you know, let people know, hey, you need to kind of get involved in listening to this, because the history, or at least the things that you don't understand because nobody's taught these things, is really important to get. We are losing our culture. I even have talked about, and I forget the name of the group, but there is a group that is being called white supremacist, white separatist, and that type of thing. When in essence, they're really not. They're just actually saying, hey, we have a right to defend ourselves. We have a right to stand up and say we're not irrelevant and we're not guilty just because you said we're guilty. And so the fact that we're actually in this position as a nation of, you know, attacking over these things of pride, whether they be, again, ethnicity, gender, or what have you, this is an indictment that we are ripe and we need to get back to the fundamental principles. And that's why I'm telling you, we need to start opening up this dialogue and debate of extending the blessings of our constitutional republic to all states. I believe all states need to have the opportunity to petition and be put on a path of statehood within these United States. I believe if America started putting out the welcome mat, and it's not a welcome mat to welfare, because bottom line, if we have Republic Review and we get the federal government to stop doing the social engineering, no more handouts, that's left to the states. If the states want to be, implement social engineering and those types of socialistic plans, as long as they maintain a Republican form of government, then that's okay. They can do whatever they want to do, because those are the privileges and rights left to the states per the Constitution. So with that, let me just really quickly fire out. We do have Red State Coffee as our sponsor. And if you want to pick up some Red State Coffee, you need to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. And right there on the homepage, you can just find Red State Coffee, click on the link, and voila, it'll take you to the Red State Coffee eBay page where you can buy some. We also have our crowdfunding with GoFundMe. We also are inviting and begging and pleading that you get involved, that you look into becoming a part of the solution instead of being a part of the problem by entering into the fray of politics and become a sovereign. Learn what it takes. It's not that hard. This is not rocket science to be a public servant. But you do need to understand the Constitution, because you have to take an oath. You have to take an oath to support it. And if you don't know what that means, then that's why you listen to the show. And you can be a part of the solution and no longer part of the problem. With that, we are going to, like I said, we're going to get into the compendious summation. So go ahead, let me go ahead and just start right now. The 14th Amendment was a byproduct of the Civil War, and the 14th Amendment established and provided clarity as to who would become citizens, those who lived here and were subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, but not a citizen at the time, but subject to. In other words, if you came here from another land and you were not a citizen and you did not apply in coming here per our immigration laws. In other words, you came here illegally, then you were not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. The Supreme Court may have rendered verdicts and opinions contrary to this, but those verdicts, again, are contrary to the Constitution itself. Because in the 14th Amendment, Section 1, they clarify exactly who becomes a citizen and who can become a citizen. And the intent was to ensure that those who had been living here for generations but were never considered citizens of the United States, which were the blacks, and so they were the ones that were allowed to instantly become citizens and were entitled to the rights of citizenship. And so the 14th Amendment applied all of those things to them. When we come back, we'll kind of round up the 14th Amendment and get into the oath of the citizens. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, health care, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so the 14th Amendment, Section 1, not only established what it took for a freeman or a slave that was living in America, what it took to become a citizen. And it was basically because they were born here and they had lived here and had been under the jurisdiction of the United States. It also covered the fact that the 14th Amendment applied the Bill of Rights to the states so that states could not deny civil rights, the laws of the land, to individuals. It also created a standard for states in apportionment regarding the census and how states, if they wanted to play games in denying citizenship and kept states from being able to apply or grant citizenship, that the apportionment was based on the legal voter, no longer a total of the people. In other words, anybody that was being that's considered a part of the whole but is not a legal voter should be reduced from the apportionment. in basically, if you didn't hear that episode when I covered this, California should not be granted because the citizens are the only ones that are to be counted, not those who are living there. And anybody who is not considered a citizen should be counted against or reduced from the number thereof. It's very clear the 14th Amendment holds accountable and keeps the states from playing the shenanigans of increasing its apportionment, but not allowing people to either be voters, and there are people that could not be voters that the citizens could not up their apportionment. This is how states started playing games, and California has way too much representation. And other states need to start standing up and saying, hey, just because you have a, you know, however 30 million illegal aliens there or whatever, that almost makes up the entire state. You would think that that's all that's left down there. But especially with the way things have been going and getting worse and worse and worse, you'd think that by now everybody would be out of that state. Anyway, so that's what Section 2 did. And Section 3 made it impossible for anybody to violate the Constitution while they're in office to be eligible to continue to serve, and that they were to be banned for life. And so Section 3 is probably the most important tool that we have today in enforcing the Constitution. Section 4 of the 14th Amendment was the validity of lawful debt, and that lawful debt was to be, you know, not questioned, that the United States had to pay that debt. It had to be lawful, though. In other words, they just couldn't assume debt so that they could just transfer wealth from America over to other nations, which is what they've been doing. So the fifth article, or the fifth section of the 14th Amendment, was the fact that the federal government or Congress would have the power to enforce. The only mechanism, though, because nowhere in the 14th Amendment did it grant them the ability to create an enforcement bureaucracy. In other words, the process of the Congress in enforcing these laws was to use the militia per Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15. Okay, so now we're there. Now we're ready to get into the oath. And I covered this yesterday, but an oath is a declaration made according to law before a competent tribunal or officer, that what you're basically stating is an affirmation and or a not, you know, the truth and nothing but the truth. And in our court cases, when we take an oath to, you know, that we're going to testify to the truth and nothing but the truth, we do that to a higher power. That's why we included God in our, you know, our oath for court witnessing and testifying. Now, anyway, why is this important? Because the oath that was integral in the 14th Amendment is in the citizenship as well. And I hereby declare, this is the oath of a citizen. I hereby declare on oath, in other words, that I am declaring to a greater power, to a sovereign, that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all alliance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potent state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have hitherto or heretofore been a subject or citizen. You understand, the people that come here illegally, they were a subject to a prince and or a foreign state, a potent state, or a sovereign. That's why they can't just become citizens. They had to have been born here and under the jurisdiction of the United States. Furthermore, this oath states, so in other words, the first thing that they do is they have to basically deny and say, I will no longer be a subject to or a citizen of this. Now, let me ask you this, because I like asking this question. If you are a subject to a religion, and that religion has laws of behavior, you know, societal laws, you can't do this, you can't do that, and that, and so forth. And it is a, in other words, a religious government, a theocracy. Are you denying your subjectivity to that entity in taking this oath of citizenship? You should be. But what happens is the people raise their arm and they lie and say, I am absolving myself of any fidelity and allegiance to this entity and becoming a subject of the United States, when they're not. See, we believe that, you know, the United States believes in freedom of religion, but not a freedom of laws. And if your religion comes in, it's one thing to have what we would call spiritual laws, but it's another thing to create actual laws of the land. And a good example of that is Sharia law. Sharia law is a civil law, not a spiritual law. And so we believe that anybody that is taking the oath, that is becoming a U.S. citizen, if they are taking the oath and they're truly not giving up their allegiance to and desiring of, in other words, if there's somebody out there that wants to invoke Sharia law as the law of the land, then they are basically violating their oath as a citizen and should have their citizenship revoked. That simple. The citizen's oath goes on, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law, and that I will perform work of national importance under civil direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of invasion, so help me God. Now, I've said this before, there is the religious conscientious objection to killing people and so forth. And they do allow that, but they do not allow, I mean, that doesn't mean that you can't serve one way or another in fulfilling your obligation. In other words, there's plenty of roles and responsibilities that you can serve in the military, the militia, or what have you, even though you find, as a conscientious objector, you find the killing somebody is repugnant to your religion, okay. But that doesn't mean you can't do the paperwork, you can't, you know, like Art Cooney or whatever his name was in The Honeymooners, who was actually a corpsman. There's no reason why you can't do those things. And so I want to be clear here. When you are looking at the oath of a citizen, you are looking at somebody that is standing aside and actually separating and severing their allegiance to another law, another entity, another jurisdiction. Now, I'm not here to tell you that the Constitution and this Constitutional Republic is a theocracy. It's not. We believe in having religious conscience and being able to express your religion however you want. But when you want to inflict law and enforce that law upon others who are not a part, it's one thing for a person to express and to follow a particular law, or I should say, a religious principle. such as not eating pork, something that both Mohammedans or Islamists and Jews don't, you know, they don't eat pork. Okay. But when you want to start creating laws that inflict that upon other people, then you are violating your oath as a citizen. And so when we come back, we will dive more into that principle. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So you got to remember, one of the last few things you say in the oath is, I take this obligation freely without any, not a bit, not a little, any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. Now I ask you, when you look at the rabid Mohammedans, Islamists that are showing up at school board meetings demanding that you invoke their laws in subjugating you so that you have to live within their standards, instead of teaching their children to obey. I mean, for a long time we had these things like, Fish Fridays. You didn't have to eat fish. You could have brought your beef, or you could have had something else to eat, but it wasn't forced upon you. You were no longer able to freely enjoy bacon. And the point, my friends, is that we live in a land of liberty, where you have the liberty to choose. And here are people that are deliberately taking an oath to citizenship with mental reservations and purpose of evasion to ensure that they can become a part of the electoral process in making the changes that they want to make, in inflicting and enforcing their theology upon us. They're trying to move us towards a theological government. Now, you've heard me say that America is a Christian nation. That does not mean that we're a theological nation. That the people that created this and the foundation of this government was done so on the principles of Christianity, which means that it is a nation of liberty. because Christianity and a fundamental principle of Christianity is liberty, free agency, along with responsibility and accountability. And so we have a problem. And I've put this out in my first book. What do we do with anybody that becomes a citizen and then starts supporting a theological conversion of this country? It's one thing to say, you know, I'd like to, you know, recommend an amendment to make Islam the religion of the land. Okay, well, if you amend the Constitution to do that, then technically that becomes the law of the land. That is not subversive. That is the process of how we do it. What they're doing is, instead of going through the constitutional process, they are trying to subvert and enforcing this. Now, my friends, it is very important that you understand that, first off, we need to understand that anybody that wants to move us towards the theology is literally somebody that is taking us away from the Constitution. Because all of a sudden, if you make Islam the religion of the land, then all of a sudden it's the same thing as discarding the Constitution, because then religious clerics and so forth are the ones that dictate the law instead of the constitutional framework. You have to understand the dangers. You have to understand that it's not about necessarily just religious freedom. There are reasons why we have to take measures to protect ourselves. When you hear gunfire, you duck. When you hear gunfire, you duck and you start firing back. Or it's the old survival of the fittest, right? I'm here to tell you that we have to, and I don't mean to just pick on Mohammedans and Islamists. They definitely have an agenda, and they're coming here and they're deliberately lying and taking an oath and then standing up and saying, we want to be subjugated to Islam and we want to subjugate you as well. And anybody that has done that should have their citizenship revoked. Which means, if you understand, some of the Islamists that are in Congress should have their citizenship revoked and they should be removed. So, there are others that are equally dangerous who are looking to undermine our constitutional republic, and it is the socialist movement, the communist movement, whatever you want to call it, because they are not supporting the Constitution and the laws of the United States. They're doing anything necessary. And in other words, they're supporting the undermining and the actual demise of our constitutional republic. And we're supposed to, in our oath, not only support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the land, but we're supposed to protect it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. In other words, communism is an enemy to our Constitution. And therefore, anybody that is a communist, like Bernie Sanders, he should have his citizenship revoked. So, what has GR done over the past couple of months? I've given you all sorts of content and all sorts of information to put things into context for you. The Tory Act, I started this little process right here off with the Tory Act. People have to understand that we have a paradigm of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Republicanism, these paradigms that make America great, that allows us to thrive under the bastion of liberty, then I'm here to tell you that communism, theology, any type of government or concepts of government that would subjugate society is an enemy to the Constitution. And these folks should be barred. Barry, a gentleman that engaged me this weekend, and the concepts of, because here's this person that is out there basically asserting that, hey, you know, society has moved in this direction. We need to go down these. In other words, we're not even going to follow the Constitution. We need to we need to put more restrictions on guns. No. The reason we have problems with lunatics and so forth is because of our social engineering, because of so many other things that are going on that the government has no business doing. We never had these problems before. We, as a matter of fact, we have become a society that does not have guns in our normal life. And in doing so, we have become unaware of the importance of guns in our normal life like it used to be. And in that process, we have lost the sight of understanding the use of guns in a free society. I truly believe that we need to reintroduce gunmanship, marksmanship, and though, you know, what do they call that? Armory, gunsmithing, whatever. We need to start introducing those types of things. Why? Because it's actually the law of the land that everybody is supposed to be a part of the militia. Why is that not a part of the education so that people understand, one, gun safety, the mechanisms of the gun, how they work, and so forth? That should be a part of the curriculum. But instead, no, we want to morph kids into this, you know, sexual dysphoria. We want to, you know, sexualize them. And this idiot that wanted to engage me completely ignores the problems that the fact is that we've become an immoral and a godless nation. That the people have become debased. And instead of seeking enlightenment, we have a right to accelerate to our demise. Are you kidding me? We should be doing everything we can to uplift society. And so the argument that this idiot made is just that. It is an imbecilic argument that holds no water. Yes, we have moved as a society, but you cannot ignore how we have used immorality in moving society by enabling people that they have a right to do what makes them feel good, instead of teaching discipline and putting, you know, checks and perspective on, you know, these things that make us feel good, and that we shouldn't become an addicted nation. And we have become an addicted nation. That we have. They used to just think that tobacco and drugs was addictive, and maybe gambling was addictive. Almost everything that people are engaging in, because we're enabling this type of behavior, and that the school system is teaching it and glorifying it, we have become a debased society and addicted to just a number of things. A multitude of problems have come because of what we have done in social engineering. So with that, when we come back in our next episode, we will be diving into Thanksgiving and George Washington's proclamation for our Constitutional Republic. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.